excited today to start the new year. Happy New Year. Anyone super excited that it's New Year? Yes. I like love January. I love a friend. I love, yeah, we got some people that are like, it's just another day. Don't be fooled. Yep, we got half and half split in here. But I'm super excited because we're starting a new series called Open. Okay? And the tagline for this is ready to say yes to God. Getting ready to say yes to God. And so we're doing this because on January 27th is Vision Sunday here at Village Church. And we have not done this before. We are going to unpack what God is doing and where he's taking us in the next 5 years as a church. He has given us an incredible vision, an incredible mission from this little zip code. And we are so excited to share. But I'll tell you what, Cody and I are just tapping into the understanding that this is going to require, this vision that he's given us, is going to require all of us, Cody and I, our families, and you, to go to a new level with Jesus. Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, do you want to be ready? How about that? Yes. Do you want to be ready? Yeah. Because what I've learned in my life is that saying, I do anything for you, Lord, and then when he actually comes and asks are two different things. I've learned that in my life. And so we are going to explore, how do we get ourselves open? How do we get ourselves ready to go to new places with Jesus? Are you in for the ride?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Well, today in our series, this is our first sermon in this series of Open. And we're going to be reading this morning out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to open there, it's the last book in the Bible. And it'll be up on the screen as well. Our app as well, if you have that, there's a Bible app in there that you can look up this passage as well. So Revelation 3, we're going to be reading verse 14 through 22. And so right at the top, it's Revelation, the beginning of it, is grouped into kind of letters to churches. But these churches kind of represent struggles that kind of Christians have. Right, and so each church kind of represents a different struggle that we could potentially have and will have in the future, right? Because the book of Revelation is kind of a mystery in a lot of ways, right? Because it's this forecast of what's to come, right? But it's written in such a way that it's not very specific, right? But there are some certainties that we can know from the book of Revelation, and some of it is that certain churches, well, really people are going to be acting a certain way. Right? Mm-hmm. It's this promise that there's going to be struggles. There's going to be Christians that are going to be doing things that there needs to be warnings against. And so this is written to the church of Laodicea. And so just a little bit of background there. So we're going to start at verse 14 and read through here. The angel of the church, or to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. It's because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there is a lot in this passage that we could spend time on, right? But the truth that we want to bring out in this series specifically is that it's a choice to be open to Jesus. It's a choice to be open to Jesus. And we kind of get that from that one main verse here. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So right away, we know it is a choice to open the door to Jesus, to be open to Jesus. And you know what? I think often we tend to operate in this assumption that if God wants to speak to us, if he wants to commune with us, then it's going to happen. Then there's nothing that we can do about it, right? There's going to be a burning bush somewhere, and we're just going to have to listen. Like we're, you know. But that's not the reality. If we want to hear from God, we have to stop and listen. There's a choice in the relationship, right? Right? Just like with our spouses, like I suffer from selective hearing sometimes, right? Like my wife will say something, she'll ask me to do something, and then later she's like, oh, did you do that? And I'm like, I have no idea what you are talking about. And she's like, we had a whole conversation about this. And I said, I am so sorry. I recognize that we probably did, but unfortunately, I don't remember any of that. So let's try again, right? So we know, right, every relationship, there's a choice to talk, there's a choice to speak, and a choice to listen, right? It's a two-way street. And so just as that's a fact with us, we know that we have to be open to hearing from God, to open to receiving what he wants for us. We know that there's an open invitation from him, right? We know that. That's the promise of the gospel, that there's a constant open invitation from him, but we have to also be open to taking whatever he has for us, right? And so this morning, we're going to be breaking down what it really means to be open. And so we're going to answer this question. How do we choose to be open? If we know that it's a choice to be open to Jesus, then how do we purposefully and intentionally choose to be open?
Right. And the first thing we see in Revelation 3:20, which is where we're kind of focusing in today, is that we have to first learn to hear the voice of Jesus. Learn to hear the voice of Jesus. It says this thing here where it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So you just picture Jesus there knocking like, hello, hello, hello. And if anyone can hear it, let them open the door and invite me in. And you know, when we hear that, part of the scripture, I think that sometimes we assume, kind of what Cody was talking about, is that hearing the voice of Jesus is something that just happens by default when you become a Christian. That if you become a Christian, then you know how to hear the voice of God in your life. And I would beg to differ in that. I think when we come to know Jesus, that we are now, his voice is available to us and there's nothing hindering it, that if we put ourselves to the knowledge and understanding of what it means to hear from God, that we can hear from him, but just because you can doesn't mean that you always do, right? And so we believe that every believer should experience the confidence in hearing the voice of Jesus in their life. Every single one of you. I'm just gonna have you throw out some numbers. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in hearing God's voice? Just yell out a number. 9. Oh, a 9? Woo. Wait, what? 8? 6, 5. Anyone down at like the one level? Anyone just admit it. Yeah, like I don't know what is going on in here, right? Like and this is an interesting thing in the body of Christ that we all kind of find ourselves in different places in that confidence, whether or not you can or not, but just the confidence, is that him speaking? What is going on? But we have to understand from the get-go that if we're going to be open to what God wants to do in our lives, we have to put our life's task to understanding, learning how to hear the voice of Jesus in your life. And I'll say this too, sorry, I was gonna hand it over, but these people,
back.
I know, back there, these people in Laodicea, they thought they were Jesus' people. They were Christians, this is to a church. They thought they were Jesus' people. And so they thought, oh, they kind of had this assumption, like, I'm in, I already know. But you get the imagery of Jesus on the outside, like, hello, hello, anyone there? And so that's a stern warning to us, but also should be a kind of this moment of like, wait, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be part of that nonsense. I want to know what it means to hear the voice of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Good. Okay. My turn now. So,
yeah, your turn.
So relationships, we know, are multifaceted, right? We don't just, like with our spouses, we don't just have one thing in common with our spouses, right? Like if the only thing you had in common with your spouse was that you liked action movies, right? And nothing else at all, in any way, shape, or form, did you guys get along? And that probably wouldn't go real well, right? You'd be fighting a lot, right? But you could work on certain things to hone communication skills to do better in that, right? And so, you know, if my wife and I, if we are struggling with our communication, like both of us, if ever we feel kind of out of the loop with each other, we'll say, I don't feel like we're on the same page right now. And that's kind of our cue for each other, like, oh, you know what, like, yeah, that's right. We haven't really had a chance to talk and to sit down and really communicate well for a little while. And so that instantly tells us we should probably up our date night game, right? If it's been a couple months or something like that, or longer than that, right? But since I've had a date with my wife, I am probably going to be pretty out of it because we don't have time at home to sit down and chat and look into each other's eyes lovingly, right? Like, it's not going to happen. Like, we have to intentionally make sure that time is happening, right? But here's the thing, right? We can know, okay, we're not on the same page in one area, and then go on a date night and then talk through that area and then feel solid about it, right? But then if we keep going on date nights and keep talking about that one thing, we're still not really growing past that. We're just doing the date night thing to do the date night thing, right? Just because we know it's kind of good for us. But my relationship with my wife has a million different levels and multifacets and like different things that we need to be agreeing upon and understanding about each other at all times, right? It's not just one or two different things, because that's how relationships work. My wife knows everything about me, more than anybody else on this earth for sure. And I know more about her than anybody else on this earth for sure. But that's because we've communicated, we've spent time on our relationship, we've grown in our relationship. And that's exactly how it is with God. The way that we have a date night with God, right, that's what we call our spiritual disciplines. That's Bible reading, that's prayer. And I'm going to read a list right now, and this is just one person's take on spiritual disciplines, right? There's other people that have written different lists, right? But I like this one. It's very well-rounded, I think. So he lists that there's solitude as a spiritual discipline, silence, fasting, frugality, chastity, secrecy, sacrifice, study, worship, celebration, service, prayer, fellowship, confession, and submission. Mm-hmm. Each one of those things is a different way for us to grow our relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I'll read my Bible, I'll commit, I'm gonna do better about reading my Bible, right? So I'll read my Bible and I'm great for maybe a couple months even, maybe even just a week in some seasons, right? I don't know if you're like that, right? And then it just seems like, oh man, like this is not what I got so much out of this right away, right? And then we beat ourselves up because we turn into a struggle a little bit. You know, but the thing is that maybe in those moments where that relationship has turned into religion, and we're just doing it to do it after a while. We're not actually connecting with God anymore. We're not opening ourselves up to hear from him. We're not looking at those words saying, speak to me today. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your heart. I want to know who you are better today, Father. And I want you to know me better too. I want to unveil all the secrets of my heart, so that you can love me the way that I need to be loved, the way that only you can really love me and know me. Somebody once described spiritual disciplines as disrobing before God. Mm. It's a terrifying thought, right? Thinking it that way. But that's what it should be, because that's what a true intimate relationship is. They know every nook and cranny, everything about you. And that's what we're called to do. If we really, truly want to learn to hear the voice of Jesus, then we have to hone that ability through relationship. And the first time that we go into these spiritual disciplines, it's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be an easy thing sometimes. It's going to take work. Just like when my wife and I are on the same page, it's not just one quick conversation that brings us right back in. Sometimes it takes some work because we've been out of it for a little while. And I have to relearn some things about my wife in this new season. But that's the way it has to be. And so we have to commit. We have to commit that if I want to learn to hear the voice of Jesus, it's going to take some time, it's going to take effort, and it's going to take vulnerability to make sure that happens. And that is the power of learning to hear Jesus' voice. Man, that'll take us in so much further, because you don't want a relationship with someone that you don't know, right? You want a relationship with someone that you do know, that you know intimately, right? And that's what makes a real relationship. Otherwise, you're just an acquaintance. And so when you read your Bible, when you pray, when you fast, when you go into solitude, when you want to listen to God, I want you to think of that disrobing before him and think of that as, okay, I'm completely opening myself up here in this moment to hear whatever you have to say, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get the most out of that relationship, and then we know we're going to grow.
Yeah, so how can you hone your listening skills this year? How can you hone your personal listening skills this year? I didn't write some of these things down, but I want to let you know there are people, amazingly gifted people, that have written books about the subject matter of spiritual disciplines. Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline is one of my all-time favorites. You write that down. Text me later if you don't have a pen, and I'll tell you, it's a fairly easy read, and there's different kinds of disciplines, inward disciplines, outward, and even corporate discipline. So maybe just learn this year, okay, what does this look like for my life? And also, Cody and I are committed to building in some of these things into our church life this year so we can practice them together. So be on the lookout for that. But there's really two ways that you can hone your listening skills. Number one, we cannot get away from getting alone with Jesus. We cannot get away from getting alone with Jesus. I'll tell you what, I'm extroverted. I like noise. It's really hard for me to sit down and be quiet. It's really hard for me to carve out time with my three kids and, you know, all the excuses in the world that I could make and make it sound really holy and good, right? But nothing can get in the way. Nothing can replace you getting away alone with Jesus. And so maybe this year you need to take some time today. We're going to have worship time in a little bit where you write down some practical, how am I going to get away with Jesus by myself this year? How am I going to do that? I shared a couple weeks ago that once a month, I personally am going to put back into rotation what I call a day with God, which is really 4 hours for me, but I call it a day with God. I mean, once a month, I'm not talking every morning, right? But once a month, I'm going to go and be quiet before God so that I can hone and learn the voice of Jesus in my life. If you can't do that, maybe you want to break it up and say, you know, every day for 10 minutes, I'm just going to get up and sit quietly, whatever it is for you. But something has to happen for you to get away alone with Jesus so that you can begin to learn to listen. Also, one thing I think we forget about hearing God's voice is that it can happen in community. It can happen in community, and often what I notice, because I'm a pastor, I'm around believers a lot, and I have a lot of spiritual conversation, is that I learn the tone of Jesus' voice, like the tone and the way he talks and kind of the language that he uses from my personal prayer time, but also from just engaging with you. Right? Like when God's doing something in your life, I'm like, oh, that is Jesus. That is. And when you say, oh, God kind of spoke this to me, I'm like, that is right, because that's how he speaks. And we're all kind of learning the voice of Jesus because we're together in community. And so I know that it can be intimate to go to a tribe group. I know some of you like literally like, nope. Like, you know, where Matt's like, sign up. You're like, nope, peace out. And I'll see you every Sunday. But that's it. That's what I'm committing. But I want to tell you what, you will learn to hone the voice of Jesus in your life just by hearing other people answer a question about the sermon, right? When we go through that facilitator guide and you hear, you know, okay, this is a question we're asking based on this Sunday, it will really bring out, how does he talk? What does he say? What is the language that he uses? And what's the tone? That's a huge one, the tone in which he communicates. How will you hone your listening skills this year? If we're going to be open, truly open to say, Jesus, do whatever you want in my life, we have to learn to hear his voice.
Yeah. And it's one thing to learn to hear the voice of Jesus, right? That's an important aspect, but we then have to choose to open the door for him when we hear him knocking. When we hear that voice on the other side of the door, let me in, right? Like, it's up to us to open the door to him and to see what happens, right? What I love about this is that in the Aramaic, this passage of I've been standing at the door knocking is what it actually says, is that I have been standing at the door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock is what we read, right? But in the Aramaic, like a great translation is I have been. And so it's this act, he's been there. It's not like, behold, I am now here, right? He's always there. Mm-hmm. He is always there knocking. It's a constant thing. He doesn't just come and go as he pleases sometimes, right? His pleasure is to be with us at all times. And so, behold, it's the I am standing. That's a very important thing to understand, right? That he's constantly there. He's always there, wanting to come into our lives, wanting to transform what's behind those doors, right? And I love this, that in the days of Jesus, right, when this was written, a bridegroom and his father would come to the door of the bride-to-be, and they would knock, right? And so if she fully opened the door, then she was saying, I will be your bride. And so that is what really this is saying. Isn't that a cool thing? Like, I wish we had some of those traditions in our marriages today, right? To say, like, to come with the Father, the Son comes with the Father to knock on the door, and if the bride opens it up all the way, they're saying, okay, I'm welcoming you into my life, into my home, and I will be your bride now, right? And that's what we do with Jesus, right? When we open that door, we're choosing to let him come in and to begin a relationship with us. And oftentimes this verse is used as a salvation verse, right? I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone who hears my voice, right? And so we, and then he enters and then we begin a relationship with him, right? But there's a macro version of that, right? And that's this big salvation piece. But we also have to keep the door open moment by moment. Because oftentimes I think we open the door to Jesus and then we're like, all right, well, good visit. We'll see you later. I'm going to just shut that door behind you and go back to my business now. You know, like, that's a pretty common thing for us to do. But the key is that it's not just the beginning, right? We got to get that doorstop out and kick it down and leave the door open for Jesus to be in our lives moment by moment. It's not just a one-time deal. Right? A relationship means day by day, moment by moment. And that's what Jesus is really speaking to us here. It's a macro version, the big salvation, and the micro version of every moment of every day.
What is your reaction when somebody unplanned rings your doorbell? So I do this thing. Okay, I do this thing where I like, this is what happens when you ring my doorbell. I'm like very quietly like, before, so they can't hear me that I'm coming, even though the dogs are going crazy. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. No one could be home, right? And I look through the peephole, and then I'm like, oh, it's whatever. You know, it's Ash. I'll just open the door, you know. But if it's, you know, the UPS man, I'm like, I don't know, you know. So we have all these different kinds of reactions. And I'll tell you what, based on any given day, the reaction's different for me, right? First of all, our doorbell is, like, back in the hallway. Anyone else have this? In there, what is it, Pulte? Like, it's way back there, but I'm over here, and then half the time I'm like, did someone ring the doorbell? Like, sometimes I can't even hear it based on where I'm at in the house. I don't even know that someone is there. Sometimes it just, like, startles me, like, anyone have that? Like, it's like this jolt of, like, fear. Like, who's here? You know, like, for no reason. It's just like someone could be here. Someone, I don't know what that is, and maybe they're creepy, you know? You know, sometimes I don't feel ready to entertain. My favorite thing is to be in my pajamas. And so sometimes I'm like, ugh. Like, you know, sometimes I just sat down and I straight up just don't want to answer it. Right? Have you ever done that? Like, no, control freaks in the room. You didn't make an appointment. You know, I will not answer the door. Sometimes you're just lazy. Sometimes you're just lazy and you're like, eh, I don't really care who it is. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. There's a lot of different reactions, and I would just want you to transfer that over to your spiritual life with Jesus, because Jesus doesn't need an appointment with us. He created us, amen? He doesn't need to get into my schedule and be like, okay, on Wednesday at 9, between 9 and 2, you know. He doesn't need to do that because he has full reign, because he paid the price for my soul, so he can come in at any point. And so I venture that he's knocking on your door, ringing your doorbell, and any one of those reactions can transfer to your spiritual life. Sometimes you're just lazy. Sometimes you're just like, oh, I know he's going to make me do something that's outside of my comfort zone, you know. Sometimes it's like, I don't feel ready, I don't feel prepared, I feel like I'm a mess right now, and I got to get all perfect before I let him in. Sometimes you just can't hear him. Sometimes you're just so at a place in your house or in your life that it's so noisy and so difficult, and you haven't gotten away with him, and so the dogs are barking, all this stuff's happening in your heart, and you just cannot hear the doorbell ringing. Sometimes you're just afraid. What does that mean to open it up? There's a lot of preconceived ideas about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus based on the media and culture and past churches that have hurt us and all this stuff, and sometimes we're just afraid to open the door. But I'll tell you what, if we're going to be Jesus people, we have to be people that open the door, that don't balk in fear or when the doorbell rings, but that are like, he's here, oh, I hear him, I got away with him, he's here, I'm going to open it up, I'm going to invite him in, which is a little bit ahead. But opening the door first and foremost is so important, learning to hear his voice and then opening the door.
Yeah. What doors in your life are you needing to open to Jesus today? I want you to kind of take stock of that. And I'm going to say, if you're not sure, then it's the areas that there's fear in your life. It's It's the areas that there's presence of fear in your life, because that's likely the door that Jesus is knocking on. Is he saying, I want to get in there? That's where I want to go. No, I know about this area. We've been there. We've been living in this little living room for a long time, but I want to see what's in that closet back there. Right? And so he's knocking on that door, and we're like, hey, but look at this over here. You want to have some coffee? Come on, Jesus. Like, can you please not go to that door? But I promise you that there's a door in your life that Jesus is trying to get in. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get you to open to him. And you know what? It's okay that happens, because I got a million doors in my life, mm-hmm. right? And I've opened a lot, but there's still a lot that Jesus needs me to open to him. Some that I don't even know exist yet. But that's how he works. He's constantly pushing. He constantly wants us to grow. He constantly wants to get deeper and deeper and deeper with us. He wants us fully and completely open to him, right? Mm-hmm. And that openness is an amazing thing, to be able to listen to Jesus, right? And to hear that, oh, wow, he's here in my life. I can hear him behind that door. Let me in. Let me in. And then it's another thing even to open the door and to say, hey, Jesus. Hey, just like we do with how many people that knock on our door, but it's another thing to say, come inside. Mm-hmm. And that's what the last point's about.
Right. The third thing we see here is that if we're going to be open, we have to invite Jesus inside. We learn to hear his voice, we hear him, we open the door, and then we actually have to invite him in. You know, I have a security door now, and so it's real easy for me just to open it, look right through, hey, shut. But it's a different thing when I open up that door and I say, come on in to my house. It's a whole different kind of relationship, a whole different interaction that I have with Jesus. You know, inviting Jesus into your life means letting him have a seat at the head of your table. It says in Revelation 3:20, he says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is like meal time happening with Jesus, which some of the most intimate times in our family can happen when we're sitting down quiet, interacting with each other over a meal. And so there's this aspect of giving Jesus the seat at the head of the table, letting him direct you. You know, Jesus shows up unannounced and he even prepares the meal, right? He's so gracious. He's not like, all right, now you do a bunch of work. He's like, hey, let me in. I've got the, you know, I picture, never mind. I was going to picture Muppet Christmas Carol. Probably no one's ever seen that, so we're going to move forward. Where, you know, Scrooge comes in with the big turkey at the end for Bob Cratchit. Okay, anyway, so Jesus comes and he prepares the meal and he puts it down and he wants to engage in conversation with us. It means letting him in. I love what Cody said. It means letting him into deeper parts of your house even. Saying, do you want the tour, Jesus? You know, I didn't prepare. The bed's not made, but come on in. Right? And so it's not enough just to say, okay, I'm going to learn to hear his voice, and when he knocks, I'm going to open. We have to actually invite him in. You know, the Laodiceans, they thought they were Christ followers, but what we get the picture is that they really lacked relationship with Jesus. They had heard about him from other people. And up in the scripture, it says this crazy thing. It says, you know, you're not hot, meaning you're not super passionate about me, but you're also not cold, so you're not like putting a stamp in the ground saying, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. You're just kind of in the middle. You're just kind of keeping me like at arm's length, and it's just it's a gross taste to me, Jesus says. I just want to spit you out. It's not hot or cold. It's not satisfying. I don't want to be anywhere near the camp of the term lukewarm in my life. Amen? I don't want to be anywhere near the camp, and so maybe today you're hearing that, and it's just a push of invite him in. Invite him in to your life.
Yeah. I used to work at a place called Kitchen Mart. Kitchen and bathroom remodeling is what we did. And part of my job was I handled finish work and finals and final inspections and permits. So getting the permits for every job and making sure that we were on track with getting the rough inspection and the final inspection. I would usually be the one that stood the final inspection, so I'd have to wait literally all day because they gave you zero windows, so like the inspector would show up between 8 and 5. So it's like, okay, at any time they could be there. But that meant that I had to be in the homeowner's house all day long, whether they were there or not. And that was a super weird thing for me, because every time I'd feel like, I'm not creepy, neighbors, I'm supposed to be here. Like, everybody, look, I got nothing on me, I'm not carrying everything out, right? I'm like going inside these people's houses, and then we would do like bathroom models, like their master bathroom, and so I'd be like, okay, now I'm in somebody's home walking through their master bedroom by myself, or with the homeowner there, and then I'm in their master bathroom, right? It was a very weird thing every single time. I never got used to it, right? Creeping around in somebody's house. But the weirdest thing was that part of the job was that to pass the final inspection, there had to be smoke detectors in every single bedroom of the house and the hallways. And so guess what? I had to go into every single bedroom of the house and put up smoke detectors and make sure they all worked, and if they were in there, I had to make them work, and then I had to give the tour to the inspector, right? And sometimes the homeowners forgot, right? Because that was discussed like weeks and weeks before that was gonna be the reality, and they'd forget, and the inspector would get there and they'd be like, no, you're not going in my, what? No, you're not coming in here. There's no way I'm letting you do that. And then it'd be like, well, we're not gonna pass the final today, so I'd have to call the boss and be like, hey, so the homeowner's not cool with this, like, I don't know what to tell him, like, I understand, you know. So it was always this awkward thing to let people into the bedrooms and to put these things up. And we had one customer, I'll never forget that, just flat out refused at the end. We did all the work, we had the final inspection set, and she just didn't allow anybody else back into the house. And so, then like the inspectors are like calling her up like, hey, we have to do this. We can't just like close it out and just assume it's okay, right? There's gonna be an issue here. And the thing is like, is she invited all of us in, right? This woman, she invited all of us in. We were in that house for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Got to know her pretty well, right? And then at the end, she just made this sudden decision to close everybody out. And the unfortunate thing is that like we were going into those bedrooms not to be nosy, not to try to hurt things. We were putting a safety device in those rooms so that if something bad happened, right, she would be alerted to it. These smoke detectors, right? Fire department would be able to come out and help, right? These were safety precautions we were putting into place. And the fact that she never let anybody go in there, like she didn't want smoke detectors, she said. And so those safety precautions weren't in place. And now imagine, Jesus wants to go into every single door of our lives to make sure that there's nothing that's gonna cause a fire. Mm-hmm. He wants to open every single door. He wants to inspect. He wants to say, let me make a clean sweep of this room, make sure that everything is up to code, up to the way that I need it to be for you to be safe, for you to be where I need you to be. Because in this life, we're gonna have trouble. There's gonna be fires, there's gonna be floods, there's gonna be all kinds of stuff. But if we don't let Jesus behind the doors to tell us this is gonna be an issue for you. If you don't deal with this right now, you're gonna have an issue in the future and it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt you and it could burn the whole house down. That's what he's telling us. We have to not just open the first door. I have 17 doors in my house. I gotta open every single one of those stinking doors to him. And that's scary. It's a terrifying thing, like we talked about before, right? We know. It's scary. There's closets that are like, nobody knows what's in there, and we just shove stuff in there, like, you know, like, I don't need anybody looking in that closet, right?
Is everybody right now counting the doors in their house?
Yeah. That's sliding doors too, okay? But anyway, but that's the reality, right? Like, we have all these doors, and so I just want to ask again, what doors do you need to open to Jesus and invite him in? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to recognize, yeah, there's that door that, man, I have not been ready to open myself up to Jesus in that way yet. It's one thing to acknowledge that, but it's another thing to invite him in. And so I want to encourage you, just recognizing that is great, but please, would you today make the decision to let him in? To let him in, to clean that room, to go over that space with you hand in hand. He already knows what's behind the door anyway. It's no surprise to him. You're not going to open it and he's not going to go, whoa, like, what? Why? Never mind, I didn't think this was going to be what I was dealing with today, right? He fully knows what he's getting himself into. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about Jesus is that he gets into our mess with us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stand outside and say, you better clean that up before you let me in. I'm not going to get standing around on dirty carpet. Right? No, he shuffles himself in there and he sits in our junk, right, with us. And then he holds us and he brings us out of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things about the person of Jesus is that he doesn't withhold himself from our nonsense, from the things that we're afraid of, because he already knows. Mm-hmm. And there's a peace that we can have about that. And so today, I urge you, open the door, invite him in. Stop being scared of what's going to happen. Jesus already has it all figured out. It's going to be a lot better than you think it's going to be, I promise. We build this stuff up to be so bad. But today, during worship, and Ashley's going to close us out in a second, but we're going to have people on the sides to pray for you. Ashley, Jonathan, would you guys stand to the sides for us? And would you, if you need prayer, if you need to go to talk to somebody and say, hey, I need to open this door in my life, go to these people. And is that work? Is that too hard? Okay. And please get those doors open and help them help you to invite Jesus in.
Right. Well, this is the start to our year. Some of you are like, ugh, right? Like, you know, and I even got the vision when Cody was talking of, like, there's an area that's, like, popping up, and you're, like, trying to, like, nope. Like, there's, like, this block that you're trying to run away from Jesus. And I'm telling you right now is the time, is the place to learn, to commit to learning his voice, to opening the door maybe to some areas, and then maybe even inviting him into those areas. You might take the plunge today and say, anything that you want in my life, search me, know me. I'm actually going to ask Kimberly and Brian, will you pray for people as well? So can we separate you on each side? Either side you want. But we're going to go into worship. And these people are here to pray for you. You guys can get up at any point and go. These people are here to pray for you. And so we know that this is not easy. We know that God's word is true. And that it divides lies and kind of the things that we believe in, kind of brings clarity very quickly. But we also know it's the best thing for you. So if you've heard this today, we want you to respond. So we've got four people here to pray for you. Four people that you can just go up to at any point during the worship and say, you know what, this message, this part of it was for me. I need prayer. I want to be open. I want to be this kind of person that knows God's voice. If you want to hear God's voice better this year, go ask them to help you. Say, pray for me that I could know how to do that. If you want to be someone, you know he's knocking and you're saying, I want to open the door to that area, but I'm a little scared, go ask them to pray for your courage. If you know I'm going to invite Jesus in and you're just like struggling with how to do that, say, would you help me invite Jesus in right now? Would you just pray that he would make up the gap and how to do that? Because I'm struggling to know how to make it up in my own life. And so I'm going to have you bow your heads. I'm going to give you a chance to respond today to Jesus. And so if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time and you've never done that before, you're hearing this message and it's hitting your heart, you know, this is the day you want to begin a relationship with him. We just want to give you the opportunity to do that today. Would you just raise your hand if that's for you, if you want to begin a relationship with him? Thank you. Anyone else want to start that? I always just want to give people the chance. The Bible says that when we give our lives to Christ, that he comes and takes up residence in us through the Holy Spirit. And now all of a sudden we have wisdom and direction and guidance and clarity like we never had before. That's an amazing thing. And the angels rejoice because it's like you're put right. You're put right back where you should be. If you're hearing this today and you're realizing, you know what, I don't know the voice of Jesus as well as I need to, and I'm going to commit 2019 to learning it, would you just raise your hand? If that was a word for you, awesome. Great job, guys. If you're hearing this and you're saying, you know, there's an area of my life where he's knocking, and I hear that now and I realize that, and I want to commit to opening the door at least, to letting him into that part, would you just raise your hand? If there's an area, okay, the Holy Spirit's moving in this place, and if you are like, he's at the door, I opened it a long time ago, and I'm just being rude, and I need to invite him in, and so today I'm inviting him in to my house, in that area of my life. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. God is moving in this place. I just feel it even now, that pressing in, that transforming presence that happens when he shows up. And so I'm going to pray for us. We're going to worship. This time is for you. You can sit with your eyes closed. You can stand and sing. You can get up. You can respond to God with your giving. You can write down your prayer request. You can go get prayer from these four on the side. Whatever it is that you need, don't let this moment pass. Don't let it pass. So Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. We just collectively say thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your gentleness, God, that you don't bulldoze down the door. You're not not that way. You don't force us, God. You wait for us. But Lord, sometimes we just make a lot of excuses for why we're making you wait. Lord, all those walls that we have up today, would you just begin ministering to our hearts right now? May they begin to fall away right now. In Jesus' name. There's no other name like yours. No other name, God. And so, Lord, you have a room full of people that are desperate for you right now, that are desperate, that are saying, you know what, I need to learn to hear you. And God, thank you that you're always speaking, that we don't have to earn clarity. God, that you just sometimes give it. So would you do that miracle today for us? Would you speak to people in a new way? God, would you just help people as they open the door? So many raise their hands, and I'm going to open it to this. And so, Lord, I know that as your spirit comes, that it's just such a tender thing. Sometimes we're just moved. We're moved to tears. We're moved to laughter. We're just moved in your presence. Help us not to be afraid. And God, as we invite you in, Lord, I pray, would you just bring peace to the chaos that sometimes we feel is so big that's behind those doors. So God, just bring peace before any circumstances get worked out, before anything else happens, would just the reigning presence be peace because you're there. So Lord, move in this place. We give you free reign in Jesus' name.